You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we all live with some kind of loss, but processing it is different for everyone. We'll talk to the author of the new book, Grief is Love, Living with Loss. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Rachel Vasquez joins me now. You count on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting conversations. We rely on you to keep programs like Central Time going strong.
Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That includes Central Time, and that's why your gift of any amount right now is an important difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks so much to everyone who gave last hour. This hour, we have a goal of 20 gifts.
Yeah, and these are really important, these goals. They help us stay on track financially so that we can keep discussions going strong on the Ideas Network. So give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you give to WPR, you'll join more than 50,000 other members. Pooled together, your support makes up the largest source of funding for all of your favorite Wisconsin public radio programs.
Your support is really powerful. It makes everything possible that you hear on WPR, everything that you enjoy and that you tune in for every day, and that so many others do too. So make your gift right now. Choose whatever amount works for your budget at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
If you want to give your pondering amount, let me suggest this. How about $15 a month? Because then when you do that, you can ask for, and this is today only, two pairs of the new Wisconsin Public Radio socks. Whether you add another pair to your sock drawer, share a pair with a friend, they make lovely gifts. Can never go wrong giving socks. These cotton Argyle socks are a perfect way to show off your Wisconsin Public Radio pride. Special offer today, only 2-for-1 Sock Tuesday. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Get your socks, keep your feet cozy and warm all fall and winter while you make your communities better with a donation for WPR. Maybe you help out at the local school, maybe you pick up litter in your neighborhood or cook a meal for a friend or family who needs support. Your financial contribution to WPR makes the community a better place too.
Your investment, along with donations from others, makes the news, talk, and music on WPR available to everybody. We're proud to be an important part of the Wisconsin community. Large part, that's thanks to you. Join in now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you've never done it, maybe you've never given to WPR, well, now is a great time. You can figure out how great it feels.
It feels really good because you'll be supporting something you love, something you use and rely on every day. And because the largest source of funding for WPR comes from listeners like you, you know that your donation truly makes a difference. You'll know it every time you listen. Make your first ever gift of $100 or $10 a month, whatever amount's right for you, at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
50 minutes left in this hour, and we need 20 more people to join in. Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
It's 2-for-1 Tuesday. Support WPR with your gift of $15 a month. Show off your pride in public radio with the two pairs of WPR socks. Available today only. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Or get ahead of the curve. Become a sustaining member. It's really easy to set up. Very convenient. Just ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. You can get started with that sustaining membership today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, when the whole sustainer thing started, I thought, what is that? Well, it turns out it's great. We've got so many people who make these sustaining memberships. It's reliable. It really helps us predict what's going to happen in the future and make decisions accordingly. Sustainers are awesome. We love it. Make your sustaining gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're listener supported, and your gift makes the Ideas Network possible. We really can't do it without you. So step up right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Bill in Windsor says, Rob Ferret rocks Central Time. Such great topics and a wonderfully nice. Professional host. Oh, thank you, Bill. That's very nice. Thank you so much for giving, too. And Ryan in Long Beach says, I moved from Madison to California a few months back. And I still love listening to WPR for the best news and music, as well as keeping me tied to a place I used to call home. Well, thank you both, Ryan and Bill, for your gifts. How about you? Join them, support Wisconsin Public Radio, get some socks at WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552, and thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We all deal with grief and loss at some point in our lives. But even though it's this universal experience, it can be overwhelming and hard to know even how to grieve. People can even feel like we're doing it wrong if we don't follow the right steps, if it lasts too long or it doesn't last long enough. Our next guest says there's no one right way to deal with grief that's going to work for everybody. Everybody's experience might be different, but there are some things that can help. She dealt with her own significant loss when her mom passed away from breast cancer. She writes about her own story of grief while her mom was sick and after she passed. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're willing to share with us an experience with grief in your own life, how it affected you, if you felt like there was pressure to get over it, pressure coming from you or from society at large, and you could also join in with your questions for our guest. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Marissa Renee Lee is the author of the new book, Grief is Love, Living with Loss. She's the former deputy director of private sector engagement in the Obama White House. And according to her online biography, she's an avid Green Bay Packers fan. Marissa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
One thing that struck me about your experience with grief is, I think in the abstract, we think of grief as feeling sad, but
yes,
it came into your life and so many people's lives in physical ways and mental and emotional ways. Can you talk about just the vastness of the experience?
Yeah. So in my book, I talk a lot about the fact that, you know, while everyone's experience with grief is unique and different, there is so much about grief that is universal in the way that it attacks both your mind and your body. I was able to partner on this book with a bereavement researcher and professor from Harvard University, Dr. Christy Dankla, and she just completely opened up my eyes so that I could see that, you know, my experience, as hard as it was, you know, losing a parent and then a decade later losing a much wanted pregnancy, that so many of the things that I went through, you know, when I was feeling sad or depressed or anxious or having headaches or stomach aches or insomnia, that it was all perfectly normal. And I hope that this book allows other people who are dealing with grief to feel like what they're dealing with is actually normal and okay. You know, there is nothing wrong with you if you lost someone you love and you're still having a hard time and it's been weeks, months, or even years later.
If you made me say words to respond to grief, I might say things like loss, absence. You really center love. Why is it important for you to do that and maybe for the rest of us to do that?
So the thing that I realized when I lost my pregnancy and, you know, my mom had been gone for over a decade and all I wanted was her. You know, I wanted her comfort. I wanted her to console me. I wanted her to somehow make it all better. And in that moment, I realized you don't get over it. You know, we have this notion that grief is something that arrives right around the time you lose someone, but that's actually not true. Grief is the repeated experience of learning to live in the midst of a significant loss. So it is something that comes up over and over again. And the reason why it comes up over and over again is because when you lose someone you love, you don't stop loving them. You keep loving them, which means, unfortunately, you're going to keep noticing their absence as different things come up in your life. You know, whether it's a big move and your spouse of 10 years is no longer with you, or the promotion at work, or, you know, I think about bringing my father and the rest of my family to the West Wing to meet President Obama and, you know, feeling sad that my mom wasn't there for that. And so for me, recognizing that love is at the core of the pain that we all experience when we grieve, it made it much easier to deal with. You know, it gave me something that I could really understand. And what I do now is commit to finding ways, big and small, to continuing my relationship with my mother. you know, she's been gone over 14 years. And I try to make sure in, you know, the ways that we raise our son, in, you know, the memories that I make with my husband, that my mom is included in them in some way.
Now, you offer a kind of a toolkit in some ways. There's not like a magical path to getting through grief that's out there, but you give some great bits of advice here. And one of them, the first one in the book, is the idea of permission, having permission to feel and express our grief. Can you talk about how important that is?
Yes. So I realized as I was putting this book together, you know, what I wanted to share was sort of my toolkit for how I have come to live a full, joyful, mostly happy, vibrant life while still creating space for the grief and you know, the sadness that comes sometimes by not having my mom by my side. And I realized one of the main ingredients, you know, one of the biggest things that has made really living with loss possible for me is that at some point I decided I was no longer going to worry about what others thought about how I was grieving. I was no longer going to judge myself for how I was grieving. I was just going to give myself permission to move through my grief however I need to, whenever, wherever I need to, in whatever way best works for me and in whatever way facilitates my healing. And once I gave myself permission to really own that grief, you know, to own the loss of my mother, it made it lighter. You know, it isn't easy. And now that I'm on tour for this book, there have definitely been interviews and conversations that I've been in that have been incredibly emotional. You know, I cry sometimes, and now I'm okay with it because it's normal. And so I truly hope that for folks who are listening and for folks who pick up this book, that it allows them to redefine grief in a way that works for them.
Marissa Renee Lee is with us, author of the new book, Grief is Love, Living with Loss. Marissa's here to talk with us about living through and with grief, and what you can do to make sure you're still living a joyful and full life. You can join in with your questions, maybe your own experiences, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to Marissa Renee Lee, author of the book Grief is Love, Living with Loss. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Dennis is with us. Dennis, hi.
Hi. My parents were in hospice care, and I was experiencing anticipatory grief. Then, of course, they died. Then the year after that, around the anniversary of their deaths, then I was going through anticipatory grief as if they were still alive, plus grieving they were dead. And it's like, wait, it's like two different realities at once just hitting at the same time. It's what's going on here?
Dennis, thanks for the call. Marissa, I think you can relate to both ends of Dennis's experience there.
Yeah, Dennis, first of all, I appreciate you sharing your story, and I'm sorry. Second, what I will say is the thing about grief is, you know, we have this idea around the stages of grief that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross put out. And I want people to know that when she wrote that book on death and dying, where those stages were first discovered, that book was actually written for the dying themselves, not for you, Dennis, or for me, Marissa, you know, the folks who are left behind. And I think because there is this framework out in the world that grief is a linear experience, when we have these moments of, you know, both grieving the actual loss and anticipatory grief with it after someone has passed away, we think that there's something wrong. And Dennis, I just have to tell you, there is nothing wrong or particularly out of the ordinary about your experience. On my end, you know, my mom passed away in 2008, and I went through a phase of sort of similarly anticipatory grief actually leading up to my wedding in 2015, because all of a sudden I was hit with all of this emotion around the fact that she wasn't going to be there. And there was just a lot of layers to it. And I've come to learn through the research that I did for this book that unfortunately that is a normal experience. And the best thing you can do and the most important thing you can do is exactly what you are doing, Dennis, which is acknowledging it and giving yourself space to have those feelings without judgment. And so I hope that you're able to continue to do that and to just be patient with yourself, because, you know, I'm over 14 years out from my mother's death. I don't think grief ever goes away.
Dennis, thanks so much for being willing to share that with us. I appreciate it. We'll go now to Samantha on the line in Whitehall. Samantha, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Good program. Anyway, my grandma, Robert, passed away in 2014, but my niece, who's four, never got to meet her. My other niece either, but they never got to meet her. So what my brother has done is he's keeping her memory alive, my grandma Evelyn, by pictures and photos and talking about her and saying, this is your great grandma. And when they had when they had the baby shower for her, my baby brother was living in her house, the farmhouse, and found some quilts that my grandma made, brand new, baby quilt and a full-size quilt, never used. My grandma made quilts all the time and gave it to my sister-in-law, my brother, for their bed, and then the baby quilt. So she would always have remember him by, you know, then. But now as she's growing up, they remember her. They keep her memory alive. Anytime she sees a picture of my grandma, she's like, Great grandma.
Yes. That's fantastic, yes. Samantha. Thank you. Marissa, in just our last minute or so, that's a great way to, keep that memory.
Yes. You gave me goosebumps. I so appreciate you sharing that story. You know, the whole foundation of Grief is Love is based on this theory called the continuing bonds theory that says the healthiest way to grieve the loss of a loved one is to find a way to continue that bond, to continue that relationship into the present. And it sounds like that's exactly what your family has managed to do. And I'm really happy and heartened to hear that.
Thanks so much for that call. And Marissa, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
That's Marissa Renee Lee. We've been talking about her new book. It's called Grief is Love, Living with Loss. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Rachel Vasquez joins me to remind you that your gift makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Step up now. Be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Yeah, that's right. We've got about 30 minutes left in this hour, and we're looking for 16 more people to join the Wisconsin Public Radio community. Your gift right now is so important because when you give, you support programs that you count on every day.
Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In that last segment, we learned about how to live with grief, and that's a really important topic. It's something that will touch all of our lives someday. And what I loved about that segment was that we got to hear one person's journey with grief, but we also got to hear stories from you, from our listeners. Conversations like this are why you listen to Central Time, and we need your help to make it happen.
That's because WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many conversations you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your very special gift.
And make that gift an ongoing gift of $15 or $20 a month, whatever amount works for you. You can set it up on your credit card or your debit card, or better yet, right from your bank account. It's what we call a sustaining gift. And the beauty of it is that you don't have to remember to renew your support every year.
That way your support is going to be as consistent as your Wisconsin Public Radio listening month after month, year after year. Become a sustainer right now. Set up your ongoing gift online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You have a place to turn for nonpartisan coverage of topics that are in play this election season: the economy, national security, public health. You'll hear about all of those topics on Wisconsin Public Radio.
And it's your support that makes all the news, including election news, on WPR possible. So join in, give everyone access to quality journalism when you make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, there aren't many ways that you get get more than what you pay for these days. WPR is actually one of the places where it's true every single day. Think about a gift of $2 a day to support the programs that you love.
It's hard to get a lot for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news and talk and entertainment possible. It works out to $60 a month. You can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Good news, Rob. We're making some progress.
All right.
About 30 minutes left in this hour, and we need 14 more people to join in. We can't do it without your help. Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make sure all the shows that you love have a bright future.
When you give, you're supporting those shows, and you could pick up the new Wisconsin Public Radio socks. Today only actually get two pairs of these navy and gold cotton socks when you give $15 a month or more. They got like an Argyle kind of design. It's got a radio and Wisconsin themed pattern. The world is going to know you support Wisconsin Public Radio's essential public service. This offer, this two pairs for that $15 a month or more, that's today only at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I'd take that offer. I love two pairs of socks. It's getting cold outside. I'm a big socks and sandals kind of girl, so I'd do it. And hey, if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Think about making today the day that you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month. Really, whatever amount works best for you. The important thing is that you do it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Eric in Mount Horeb says, I love WPR. And Barbara in Madison says, I love to listen and learn from all the wonderful programming. Barbara, thank you. Eric, thank you both so much for giving and for the kind words. Do you feel like Barbara and Eric, you really count on us for great conversations and entertainment throughout the week and the weekend? Well, join them in supporting it. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. You're going to feel great whenever you listen because you know, hey, I'm part of the team. I'm making this happen with my gift right now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up, a spider expert joins the show to talk about our eight-legged arachnid neighbors and the many misconceptions associated with them. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. You count on the Ideas Network for interesting conversations. Rachel Vasquez joins me to remind you that we count on you to help keep these conversations on the air.
Listener support is the largest piece of funding that makes all the spider talk you could dream of possible. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Halfway through this hour, we're about halfway to our goal. We can hit it and we can do it with your help. Make your gift right now to support the programs you enjoy and count on each and every day.
WPR programs are listener powered. That means that your donation right now makes a big difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR's Ideas Network is like a statewide town hall. It's where people come together to hear about topics and issues they care about, to ask questions, to share information.
Because you benefit from this community, we are asking you to help pay for it. Your support is a crucial piece of what makes the Ideas Network possible. Be a part of this great tradition with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As the donor, you get to decide how much to give. We don't bill you. You pick the amount. Maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
Yeah, that might be what you spend every month on takeout or clothes, if we're talking about me. Things that you enjoy. I buy a lot of clothes, Rob.
Yeah, fair.
Things you enjoy and that make your life better. Just like listening to WPR, like listening to Central Time. The important thing is that you decide what amount works for you, and then you make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's 2-for-1 Tuesday. Today only, receive two pairs of WPR socks when you give $15 a month for the programs you love. Replenish your sock drawer or share a pair with a friend. Featuring a pattern of radio and Wisconsin-themed symbols, these golden navy socks are the perfect way to show off your love for public radio and the Badger State. This offer is only available today. Ask for your WPR socks now when you give $15 a month. Here's how.
Make that gift. Get those socks online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Rachel Vasquez. Your support during this fall member drive makes the WPR programs you count on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, it is the right amount to give.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do. All the cool kids are doing it. It just takes a few minutes of your time, really. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Then your gift will support the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
There really aren't a lot of important things that you can do in just a few minutes. You can't, you know, learn to play the guitar or solve a scientific mystery. Well, maybe Rob can. I don't know about
that. No, definitely okay. Not that scientific mystery. Or guitar. I've tried. Being in a band, you just assume you can play guitar. But it doesn't come that easy.
No, it takes
Same with drums.
Years. It all takes years. But spoiler alert, you can make a big difference for WPR and for Central Time when you make a gift right now.
WPR is important to the Wisconsin community. You can hear news you can trust, enjoy a statewide connection with people around the state and beyond, appreciate quality entertainment as well. It takes the entire community to make it possible for everyone. You could do your part in just a few minutes, two or three, when you make your gift of any amount at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Yeah, two or three minutes to get this done. We've got 20 minutes left in this hour, and we are looking for 11 more people to join in. I know we can do it. I know we can get there, but we cannot do it without you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this, you know, it's late afternoon here. Not a lot more time to get this two-for-one Tuesday deal where you give a gift of $15 a month, and then you get two pairs of the new Wisconsin Public Radio socks. That deal's today only. So give now, support great conversations, get double the socks at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. As we approach Halloween next month, houses may start to fill up with decorative spider webs and spiders. What about the real spiders? A new international report says there's a lot we get wrong about spiders in our daily lives and in the news media. We have a Wisconsin spider expert with us to help separate fact from fiction. Michael Draney is a professor in biology at UW-Green Bay. His specialties include the ecology of spiders. Mike, welcome back to Central Time.
Yeah, how's it going, Rob?
Good. Well, before we get to the fact or fiction thing, I don't know if you know this, Mike. We had you on years ago to talk about what spiders do in the winter. You know that. What you may not know is for years after that, every year around this time, our web article about that would show up on the charts. Like, people kept finding that again. People are really curious about that. Can you remind us, as it gets colder, what do spiders do for the winter?
Yeah. First of all, I have to say why people get so interested, and I think it's because a lot of web-spinning spiders are reproducing this time of year, and so they keep getting bigger and bigger until around Halloween. But they also put their webs higher and higher up in the landscape. And so by Halloween, there's big spiders right in your face. So anyway, how do they get through the winter? Obviously, they're not going to be migrating like birds, so they all are surviving the winter somehow right here in Wisconsin. Amazingly, all the ones we've looked at survive as spiders. That is, the eggs don't overwinter. The eggs actually will freeze during the winter. So even the ones that survive in an egg sac, they actually, the little eggs will embryonate and the little baby spiders will hatch out of their eggs, but stay in the egg sac and just hang out there as little baby spiders until the weather is right.
Okay, now I saw, the reason we gave you a call this time is I saw this big international report, spider researchers from like, I think 20 countries looked in the media and they like tracked down things that were wrong that people were saying about spiders. As somebody who studies spiders yourself, do you see a lot of kind of misinformation or misunderstandings of spiders?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about that. That's a big part of my job, is to reassure people and make sure that spiders are not on their top 10 or even top 100 list of things to worry about.
Yeah, one of the interesting things in this study was the places where they have the most dangerous spiders, like Australia, they're pretty calm about it. It's places like, you know, the UK and some places here in the United States, too, where we don't have a lot of dangerous venomous spiders that the media tends to freak out more. Why do you think that is?
That's been my experience, too. I grew up in New Mexico, and I could find 50 black widows in my backyard in New Mexico. And yet here, if you find a black widow, you know, it's a news story. And so I think that's what it is. It's unfamiliarity makes people kind of nervous and worry about things. And I think the more you know about these animals, the less you realize you have to fear from them.
Now, a common misunderstanding, again, according to these international researchers, is a lot of people will show up at a doctor thinking they have a spider bite. And it probably isn't. And I got to admit to you, I have been that person in my life. Mm-hmm. Spider bites apparently are way less common than we think they are.
Yes, absolutely. I think in general, you have to compare them to wasp stings, right? Has anyone ever asked you, hey, is this little red mark a wasp sting? No, because, you know, you look down and there's a wasp stinging you and it really hurts. And that's essentially the way it is for most spider bites, too. You will know if you get bitten by a spider because you will see a spider biting you. And so you don't have to wonder if you see a little red mark. That is very unlikely to be a spider bite. And there's so many other things that it could be. But spiders just get the blame.
Now, we heard on Facebook from Jimmy, who writes, the three things that scare people most are spiders, snakes, and bats. Now, Jimmy has a theory. Jimmy says this is because they have one thing in common, unpredictable movement. Other creatures are predictable. Most likely, they'll simply run in a straight line away from a person. These three don't. They're kind of all over the place. So what do you think of that theory of scary creatures?
Yeah, he might be onto something. I think that there's something about spiders being kind of sneaky, and you often don't notice them until suddenly you do. And so there's that. I think the number of legs, you know, the legginess of spiders, I think is very, you know, very deeply negative to some people. So it's kind of hard to say what it is, but there's definitely, it's about us. It's not about them. It's a psychological issue and not so much an issue of them being dangerous to us at all.
Now, this is a pretty common part of human psychology, being scared of spiders, that yet you are, Mike, somebody who's devoted your life in part to studying spiders. What is it that captured your attention and your imagination?
You know, I think seeing them under the microscope had a huge impact on me because they really are amazing looking. I would say they're really beautiful looking, but essentially it's like some kind of a tiger or something. But the only reason why they're not in zoos everywhere is because they're so small. And so they really are a fascinating group. They use silk as a technology to accomplish almost all of their problems, to solve, you know, solutions to all their problems. And so in some sense, they're almost more interesting than a tiger or a lion because they've got this sort of unfair tool that they use, silk that they use to make webs and do all sorts of other things with as well.
How do they do that? How do they produce? I mean, silk production, it took humans a long time and we had to use the natural world to do it ourselves, really. How do spiders do it?
It is amazing. We've learned what genes the spider uses to make the silk, and we can get bacteria to synthesize the silk, but the silk does not make a spider web then. It just makes this gloppy stuff. And so it's how it comes out of the spider's abdomen, out of the spinnerets, and how it gets kind of combed by the spider's legs that produces the alignment of molecules, and it produces this incredible tensile strength and elasticity, which really exceeds any man-made material. So that's the way they make it. And so they can do something that we can't do, quite frankly.
Talking to Michael Draney, biology professor at UW Green Bay, looking at spiders, facts and fiction about them. You can share your thoughts or questions, or maybe your love of spiders or fear thereof, on the Ideas Network Facebook page. On Facebook, Brandy writes, I like spiders a lot, and I try not to kill them. If they're where I don't like, then I catch and release. My husband thinks it's dumb, but hey, Brandy says they eat mosquitoes, so they're cool in my book. Mike, how about, do spiders eat a lot in the way of mosquitoes in Wisconsin?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been estimated that around the world, the weight of the insects that spiders consume every year exceeds the weight of humans living on the planet at that time. So they make a massive difference in the kinds of insects and the amount of insects that you find, not just in Wisconsin, but all around the world.
Now, what are some of the most common kinds of spiders we see around the state? I don't know that I could tell them apart, really, but what are our most common spiders here?
Yeah, it's interesting. The most common ones and the ones that people see the most are not really the same, right? Because in order to be conspicuous, they have to live by us and they have to be large. So people are very familiar with wolf spiders. They're hairy and kind of earth tones and they run around. People are familiar with jumping spiders. They live on our houses and they jump around. But there's a lot of tiny spiders that live in leaf litter that there's twice as many species of those. There's over 100 species of sheet web spiders that live in Wisconsin, and yet few people have ever really seen one. So those are kind of two different questions. But yeah, a lot of the big web spinners are becoming adults right now, and those are the ones that people notice around Halloween.
Right, and not all spiders spin webs. Do I have that right?
That is right. Yeah, all spiders make silk. And a lot of them use their silk to wrap their eggs in. They use silk as a little drag line, so in case they fall, they don't fall all the way to the ground. So they do all sorts of things with silk. You've probably heard they balloon. They can travel long distances as babies, especially, using silk lines. But webs is just one thing that they've evolved to use this amazing material for.
Are there more rare spiders that you're always too happy to hear a report of in the state?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Everyone's always saying, oh, you study spiders, you can come to my house and there's a million of them in my basement. But, you know, of course, those are the ones that are very common. And there's oftentimes they're not even native to the state. They've been moved here and they like our houses because they're sort of like a cave, right? A cave in the tropics or a cave in the Middle East or something. So those are not the spiders that particularly make me happy. It's the spiders that live in rare habitats in Wisconsin, old growth forests, unusual wetlands. Those unusual habitats are going to have unusual denizens, including spiders. And sometimes we find spiders that we've never found in Wisconsin before. Not that they're new species necessarily, but they're maybe more common in Canada or maybe more common down south. And those are the ones that really make me excited to find.
We've talked about eating mosquitoes a bit. Can you talk about the role of spiders in these ecosystems you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, they are definitely predators. That's what all spiders are doing. They're eating different spiders will eat different kinds of insects, and they're not all out there, you know, just trying to help us, right? I mean, clearly we're not really part of their world. They're eating insects to survive and to do what they do. But not only are they eating insects, they are food for all sorts of other animals, right? Including a lot of animals that we really appreciate. Great example are songbirds. So we always talk about how songbirds are eating caterpillars, and that's true. They feed their babies caterpillars, even if they eat seeds. But most of those songbirds will switch from caterpillars to spiders for about a week during the nesting of their babies. And it's at a time when the brain is growing. And the reason is because spiders have more of an amino acid called taurine in their bodies than caterpillars do. And this taurine is really important for brain development. So it's kind of like brain food for birds. And so these spiders actually, by feeding spiders to baby birds, the baby birds grow up more inquisitive and braver, more curious, and more intelligent.
Now, one thing that I used to think I got corrected on, I think at an early age, spiders are not insects. Who are they most closely related to? Who are the closest cousins in the animal world to the spiders?
Yeah, so spiders are arachnids, and these are animals that don't have jaws. They have either fangs or pincers for their mouth parts. And some of the close arachnids that live in Wisconsin, we have the mites and ticks, not everybody's favorite animal, but ticks are arachnids. We've also got the daddy long legs, which actually are not spiders. They don't have any silk. And then we also have farther south, not in Wisconsin, all sorts of scorpions, wind scorpions, sort of related animals that live, especially in drier parts of the world and in the tropics as well.
Mike, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That's Michael Draney, professor in biology at UW Green Bay. His specialties include spiders. He joined us to separate fact from fiction in the spider world. A recent international report finds a lot of us, even in the media, get it wrong when it comes to spiders. Keep sharing your maybe sightings, pictures if you got them, on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Rachel Vasquez joins me. Your gift right now is super important at the end of this hour because gifts from people like you are the biggest source of funding for WPR programs. Central Time and all the stuff you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio are all possible thanks to your support. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've got 6 minutes left in this hour. The time is really ticking down, and we are looking for 9 more people to join in. When you give, you fund Central Time and all of the WPR programs that you count on. So give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just had a great conversation about spiders here in Wisconsin with a Wisconsin spider expert, a separated fact from fiction, learned some fascinating stuff about them, a glimpse into the world of science and some of the creatures we share this state with. These are the kind of interesting conversations you can count on here on Central Time.
That's right. We cannot talk about spiders without your help. WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes all of the topics that you tune in for possible. Choose whatever amount works for you and then make your gift.
And this fall member drive, WPR has you covered with fall sock season. Today, you can get 2 pairs of WPR socks when you give $15 a month or more for the programs you value. I guess if you're a spider, do that twice. You want to end up with 8 socks. These golden navy socks celebrate all the great content you get access to on air and online every day. Only today now can you do this double deal, 2 pairs of socks for $15 a month or more. Make it happen at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I wake up to Wisconsin Public Radio. The alarm goes off. It's better than a snooze alarm for me because I get to hear a lot of interesting things, especially in the car. If it's not public radio, I'll turn on some golden oldies for a while, but that gets, then you heard the same song 75,000 times, you get tired of it. Maybe try some country western, but mostly I keep going back to public radio because there's always new stuff. I'm John Ink from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, and it is my source for a clear view of the world.
You can join him at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation this fall member drive. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Rachel Vasquez. The WPR programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support. Your contribution of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, keeps radio coming to you and your community on into the future.
If you've already made an annual contribution or you make ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you so much. You really are the backbone of WPR.
If you haven't given yet, join the tens of thousands of dedicated WPR members when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is your station, the one that wakes you up in the morning, rides with you on your commute, keeps you company during the day.
The beauty of WPR is that you get to decide how much to pay for the programs and services you enjoy. A lot of first-time donors will give, you know, $50 or $100 or maybe do a monthly thing like $5 or $10 a month. You pick the amount that's right for you.
Whatever amount works for you, your gift, along with the donations from other listeners, add up to WPR's largest source of funding. Join the team right now. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Clock's ticking on your chance to get that double sock deal, 2 pairs of socks when you give $15 a month or more. These are socks with a WPR design. They'll show your love of public radio. Give now, get the socks at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Think about making today the day that you increase your support of WPR, maybe $5 or $10 a month, really whatever amount works with your budget at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Carol in Hudson says, WPR, I can't live without it. And Margaret in Kenosha also gave. Margaret says, I'm donating because I simply enjoy WPR. Thank you so much, Margaret. Thank you, Carol. I hope they can encourage you now to make your own gift because you count on Wisconsin Public Radio. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We have so many people to thank. Thank you to our sustainers, our members who renew by mail. Thank you to our business sponsors. We appreciate the support from everyone. It all adds up to make the Ideas Network possible.
Give now. Show your support for the conversations you count on. Know that we really do count on you to help make it all possible. Make your gift right now. It really is just going to take a few minutes of your day. WPR.org is the website or call 888-202-2552 and thank you.